This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on your Wednesday morning. We're about halfway through the week, halfway through the show. It's halftime. All right. Now, good day today, at least for the first part. Afternoon, things are going to change a bit. Winds are going to start whipping up. We could have gusts around 30 miles an hour, bringing in chance of some of those showers and thunderstorms. Most of them look like they're going to be a little bit south of us, but we certainly could see some of that action as well and look for an unsettled weather pattern throughout the week. Getting a lot of responses on our Happy Life Gardens poll question. Are NASCAR drivers, golfers, and bowlers considered athletes? You got somebody coming at us right here.
Brand new texter here, D-Mac in Loveland. Appreciate the text, D-Mac there. Key here is the difference between sport versus game. Bowling is a game like darts or billiards. Correct. So bowling is a game. Is golf a game or a sport? Is NASCAR a game or a sport?
I'm going to have to categorize NASCAR.
That is difficult to do. I don't know how to do that. Let's throw that one out for a second. Is golf a game or a sport?
You play a game of golf. You play a game of basketball.
That is true. You're making your own argument.
I know I am. That is tough. Golf is a sport.
You technically play a round of golf. You wouldn't play a game of golf.
True. So you're just playing around. No, not a sport.
If I played
a hole of golf, that's not really a game. That's just I'm hitting a ball from here to there.
I am going to cut off my arm to save my life. I don't know how that analogy goes here, but
I don't understand what that is either.
I'm going to make a sacrifice here and say that I'm going to lose this argument, a long-running argument that I have had, that golf is a sport, to save this argument about golfers are not athletes. Golf is not a sport. Golf is not a sport, therefore the golfers are not athletes. Golf is a game. Yes, golf is a game. Like
I wouldn't
darts
say
or billiards.
It's a game. I would say it's more of a thing you do.
A game is a thing you do.
It's a recreational activity, but it has levels to it. You know, guys like us, we're average Joes. We could just go play a public course.
Oh,
whatever.
Don't put me in the same category.
I'm putting you in the same category. Until you get to the Corn Ferry Tour, you are here.
Don't put me in that same group. Don't put me in your box.
Wouldn't it be a...
This is really stupid. We didn't.
Yeah, it does. But no, because if you're just out messing around, but if you get in a competition, does then that change the definition of what you're doing?
Why do they sell golf equipment in sporting goods stores?
And if you look under ESPN, it's listed under sports. There's a lot of very
they
good
are the leaders in sports
right.
knowledge.
Yeah, that's
apparently.
True.
They don't watch the MVP.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Lisa Salters hasn't seen Nicole Jokic till this series. Okay, but D-Max got me confused. D-Max at Loveland. Sport versus game. But if it's just a sport, there's non-athlete. You don't necessarily have to be an athlete to partake in a sport.
No, because I can play basketball.
Right. I think your argument's out here, D-Mac. I don't think your argument has... I don't think it's standing up.
Games,
thanks for the text.
Games are like... it's a contest, but you're doing it for the fun of it. A sport is you're competing because you're trying to win something.
That would make Monopoly a sport, too.
Like you play hide-and-seek with your friends. You're not trying to be the hide-and-seek champion. You're just trying to win the game of hide-and-seek.
Do you know how competitive I am?
Yeah. I'm not saying you can't be competitive in either one, but one of them is for pleasure. The other one's for actual competition.
Isn't there like a tag championship now? So is tag a sport?
Do you consider professional tag players at like a real sport?
No, but I don't consider track a sport either. HVAC guy, NASCAR is a race, fellas. Pretty much all motorsports. So when we were trying to figure out if it was a game or
it's a damn race.
Yeah, it's a race. That's our bad. Wrapping insurance guy, I don't think that game versus sport is a valid philosophical musing, LOL. That was a lot of big words. I'm not sure I completely understand it, but I appreciate the text. No, I agree. I don't think game versus sport is the argument here. Because I don't think you have to be, like, for a sport, I don't think it necessarily has to be an athlete to compete in a sport. For a game, I don't think you necessarily have to be an athlete to compete. Like, I don't think that's not the argument we're looking for here.
So am I an athlete if I'm really good at hide and seek? I'm running really fast. I can jump away from you.
Don't get your little things out of here. You're clouding up my brain. I haven't finished.
I took a lot of sports classes in school, so I'm just trying to throw stuff at you.
Look at the brain on this guy.
Well, would you call anything in the Olympics a game or a sport? They're called the Olympic Games.
Basketball sport, though. But. Like, track's not a sport.
Go play a basketball sport.
Okay, here's another can. Let's dive into rodeo. All right, rodeo contestants. You consider them athletes? And I'm going to say everybody but team ropers.
There you go. There you go, baby. I'll keep crapping on the golfers out there. You take the team ropers.
Sorry, gang.
By the end of this, we're not going to have a program.
I understand what you're doing, but you sure as hell ain't athletes either.
No, but... I think that bull riders, athletes. Team ropers, not athletes.
Bareback?
Athletes.
Saddle bronc?
Athletes.
Barrel racer?
Probably, no, I'm going to say not athlete.
No?
I'm going to say not athlete.
Breakaway roper?
Definitely not athlete. Definitely.
Steer wrestler?
Athlete.
There's a lot of big boys.
I know, but there's also a lot of athletic big boys.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
I do.
To bail off a horse going that fast.
See, this argument could spread so far, but we had just thrown three of them out there. But you could go with just about anything on this. What about a Frisbee golfer?
Frolf, man?
Yeah.
HVAC guy said, Angel just made origami out of the whole argument with that definition.
No, I didn't. It's very simple. A game is...
It's a simple game,
it's an activity
really.
That you do for just the fun of playing a game. Like, if you and your friends want to go play a pickup basketball game...
Right. Sport.
You may keep track... Yeah, that is the sport of basketball, mm-hmm. but the game itself, you may keep score, you may not, you may call fouls, you may not,
sports
but
and
you're
games
just
are the
playing
same.
The game.
Sports and games are the same thing?
Sports is an... Is an avenue off of games.
Mysterio texting
sport itself is... Basketball, baseball.
I need you to create
the game
me a flowchart, please.
The baseball itself.
Can you create a flowchart on
No, because on it's very it simple. You're going to get a Venn diagram in a second.
That would be great if we could do that. Mysterio, Tanner, you don't think track is a sport? You're silly. Please explain. All right, so I've had
no,
this
I don't
argument.
Want to hear his explanation.
Yeah, well, you're about to, Angel. This is an argument that I have had since I was in high school.
Okay, I'm going to be dead against you on this.
No, everybody is, but this
yeah.
is
Okay.
This is why I dig my heels in.
That's why I get up every morning.
I am so useless. No. Okay. So hear me out on this, okay? What is the conditioning for wide receivers in football?
They run.
They run, right? They sprints, long distance.
Run,
they
jump.
Get endurance, right? They
all
those
things.
Right?
Crunches.
You
got to
build that, yeah.
Yeah.
How do they train for that?
How do they train
for... For the actual game, the sport that they're in.
Ladder drills, catching drills.
Right, by running. And jumping and sprinting, right?
But they're
sure.
jumping and stopping quickly and
so what,
turning
where,
direction.
Oh, right. There's more to it, for sure.
Running their patterns.
Yeah, correct. You guys nailed it all. You guys could be wide receiver coaches. So you go from that. So what step of the process is that for a good receiver? That's just the very first step, right, of training. It's the conditioning. What track is just training and conditioning for other sports. It's not a real sport because I can go around this building, and if I run around this building in 3 minutes, and the next time I go and do it in 2:30, guess what? I just got better at this quote-unquote sport because you're not racing again. There's not a scoreboard.
Well,
you're racing,
not racing
against the clock.
You're racing against everyone else
in high school
on the line against
in track, in sprints, to qualify for whatever, right? The main thing, your main goal when you go out there is to beat yourself, right? So if you're your only competition, right, in the grand scheme of things because you're qualifying based on your numbers, it's not a sport. Track
you're
is not a sport.
You're trying to beat everybody else. Your time has to be better than the others.
But you're trying to better yourself because if you could lose to this guy in this race and be like, okay, that's fine, but I moved, you know, I took second and my PR went, you know, I changed my PR. I dropped the time down on that. Okay, well, you just beat yourself, which is going to essentially qualify you for whatever the next tournament is. Track's not a sport.
What about the
track
team?
Track is strength, you know, just conditioning.
What about team points?
That is where it gets a little complicated.
It's not
but
very
again,
complicated.
Oh, no, it's tremendously.
You get
complicated.
More points for finishing higher in a race. You get more points for throwing an object farther than your 20 other competitors.
No, false.
You and 20 other throwers will go to practice 5 days a week throwing javelins to bet to see. I need to throw it farther than this guy so I can get more points for my team. My team could win a championship.
But if I set this trash can up right here, like where it's sitting, and we stood in that corner, and I'm like, all right, let's team up. It's Angel and Brady against Brian and I right here. Is that a sport?
No, it's a game.
Right,
it's a little game,
and
track is an actual.
That's just
sport.
Conditioning, man. It's just.
Is a weightlifter an athlete?
No,
not an athlete.
I don't think so, because I mean, it's just. Hey, can you lift something really heavy? There's no like skill involved in it.
I think there's a lot of mental skill involved in track.
I don't know where we're at right now. I'm not sure. All right, let's get a couple texts. We were supposed to do back page news here, but we completely
didn't. Yeah, I'm fully aware of that.
Yeah. We'll see. It's your pool question, man. You're getting me all over the place here. Mysterio, highly disagree, Mr. Kersey. That's fine because you're a wrestling coach. You're a wrestling coach. You want your
people. Are they
people,
athletes?
Is wrestling a sport?
Wrestlers are absolutely athletes. We can all agree on that, right?
You ever seen... like some of the fat wrestlers.
Don't try and say WWE.
WWE?
Yeah, that is such BS.
Is it a sport or is it a game?
This is why he disagrees with me with, stop! That's not the argument.
I just want an answer to the question.
Stop it! DMAC texted in here and it confused the hell out of me, all right? Okay, this is why
there's
you disagree with me.
Stop
talking right now, Angel.
Gears are turning.
This is why he highly disagrees, is because other sports want their athletes to go run track. You run track. You don't play track, right? You run it. You want you to go
wrestling.
Because you go and that's just a different verb. But you want them to go and do that so you can get better because, in essence, it's conditioning for other sports. That's all track is.
I didn't do any other sports. I did cross country and track. That was it.
You didn't do a sport then. Let's see here. DMAC texting, it's a personal definition. LOL, sorry, not easy discussion. Now, yeah, you confused the hell out of me there, but we appreciate you texting us.
You're arguing with a wall.
Yep.
Is wall ball a sport?
Can be. 7:08:19 the time. I don't know, man. This changed they changed it up on me, Brian. Oh God, the texts just keep coming. We gotta get a break. It's good morning, Noko.
I don't know if we're right anymore.
I'm scared. I don't even know, man. I do know
you
one
your
thing.
Your mind changed?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to think or feel or believe anymore. I know one thing. You're welcome, Google, because more people have Googled the definition of athlete today than any other day in a long, long time.
Because, and sharing it with us.
Yes, they are. So I rebutted to Chantel, who commented and said that that they are athletes because it's hard. I said math is hard, too, but they aren't athletes. She said, fair, but math is hard on your brain, not physically hard. So I'd say more along the lines of scientific, where athletes use their bodies. I mean, by definition, athletes, a person who is proficient in a sport and or other forms of physical exercise, that will be able to repeat this definition. I hope this is on the test on Friday. She said, so sticking to my answer, yes, they're athletes. Hunk texting, and what about cornhole players? Takes a lot of skill to toss a bag into a hole, or pickleball players. Golfers are for sure bowlers. No. NASCAR drivers, no.
I'm getting Beverly says nope. Diane says NASCAR drivers, yes. The amount of focus put on them at high speeds plus the high temps in the driver's seat, they are athletes. High temps don't do anything. That means a welder is an athlete.
You're going 120 on a county road?
That's it. Bowlers, golfers, hard no. Let's see. Why do you think they are not? Well, that's we're throwing out the question. Douglas, bowlers and golfers, no. NASCAR drivers, yes, because they have to train and be fit to be able to handle it. No, they just have to be trained and fit to fit in the damn car. You ever tried to get into one of those little things?
No, I've
sit down and turn left.
Oh, my goodness.
Not right.
Look up Shaq versus Dale Earnhardt Jr. and listen to what Shaq says at the end. So apparently Shaq, like, got in a...
Maybe look that up and make sure it's FCC friendly, but maybe check that out.
Interesting. No, I love the feedback because you're making some fantastic points.
My mind's in a blender.
Which should sway most people, but I'm sticking to my guns.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, let's talk about who you're voting for next. I have to give a shout out.
I haven't met the person I'm voting for yet.
I was just kidding.
Oh, okay, well, that's an easy one for me if you want to go there. Another person's throwing their hat in the ring who I won't be voting for, too. So.
Oh, that's good.
Go ahead.
I gotta give a shout out to Ann Helens, man. I don't know what is in this coffee. I think I got a shot of espresso in here, maybe.
Something perked you up a little bit?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but shout out Ann Helens. It's a great coffee house downtown, but speaking of great businesses downtown, accessories with a flair and hair. Those summer events are almost here. They're starting already. Friday Fest is getting underway. The Stampede's just about a month away right now. Mm-hmm. So when you go to these events, you need to own them. You need to have that flair, that style. When you walk into a room, you can find that accessories with a flair and hair. Check Linda Winter out at 801 8th Avenue, suite number 4 in downtown Greeley. That's 801 8th Avenue.
We send people in to check you out.
Suite 4 in downtown Greeley. It's accessories with a flair and hair. Look for that red awning. 831, it's Good Morning NoCo.
Welcome back into the Agro Fiber Studios, 834 on your Wednesday morning. And thanks to everybody who's playing along in our Happy Life Gardens poll question. We'll get to more of your responses on that coming up in just a few minutes. Well, if you're like me, you get a little stressed out when you're on the roads. I do every time I go and drive anywhere, especially when I was riding on my motorcycle. I was just afraid every time I was out there. You know, I loved riding, but I hated the traffic. And I hated being at feeling uneasy because of the way people drove around me. I would pull into my driveway and then I'd just take that breath, say a little prayer of thanks that I made it home without incident. It's crazy out there on the roads, and there's a lot of bad drivers, and you could find yourself in a situation where you get hurt in an accident, and you need to take care of things and get the money you deserve. That's where Kane Doolin McQuinn Young at TrialProven.com come in. They're known for taking the fight to insurance companies, corporations, and those dangerous drivers across Colorado. Go online at TrialProven.com or give them a call for a free consult, 303-246-1111. More Good Morning NoCo coming up next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, 8:40 the time. We've been having a lot of fun here this morning with the great nonsensical debates, which are always the fun ones when no one's feelings can get hurt, of course. We're wanting to know our bowlers, golfers, and NASCAR drivers, athletes. Keep the responses coming in. We're loving having this argument. Bowlers, golfers, NASCAR drivers, are they athletes? Joining us once again in the Aloe Fiber Studios.
Speaking of people who love arguments.
Speaking of people, it's difficult to win an argument against.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to pick one with Havala.
Sometimes you guys try.
I love the
challenge. No, I do. By the way, when you were in yesterday, the intro music he played by Metallica is the best one yet. He played Whiskey in the Jar yesterday.
Yeah, we commented on it, I think, last week, and I think that's why Angel did it again. I'm giving him lots of props.
Is that right? He has no idea. That face means I don't know.
I mean, I use a Metallica playlist, and I just go with what I think sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know she's not going to get upset over any Metallica song I pick.
Any of it.
Well, you're the only one that he aims to please, too, when it comes to our guests.
It's amazing. I think tomorrow I'm going to have to bring in burritos from the Merc.
I think that's a great idea.
I believe.
I owe you. It's
true.
Like for all of us, though, right?
Right, but Angel especially.
I'm getting three burritos.
Yeah. Okay.
Note to self, bring in five.
Five burritos. Havla with Bruno Lilly Legal joining us. Okay, we're going to switch over to a very difficult topic here, one that broke late yesterday afternoon. $19 million payout to the family of Christian Glass. Havla, as you've watched this, we'll have questions, but first walk us through how this all came about, the shooting and that side of things.
So my understanding is that Christian Glass had a mental breakdown. He called into 911 and kind of said some crazy things, like, I have a knife, I'm going to do some stuff. But he wasn't really particular about what he was going to do. So law enforcement responded to a mental health crisis. And it wasn't just one agency. I believe there were four agencies that responded to this scene, including CSP. And then Glenwood Springs, I think, was one. And then Idaho Springs was another. So with that being said, they all kind of convene on this scene in this mental health crisis. They assess pretty quickly that there's no reason for them to be contacting this individual. So his mental health crisis has not escalated to a point where he's homicidal or suicidal. They don't have any indication that he's going to hurt himself or others. There's no crime that they can articulate. And at that point, there's some documentation indicating that a CSP supervisor said, look, there's no reason for us to continue to engage in contact with him. We need to back off. Well, one of the officers didn't. And there's some talk about...
Sorry, just a quick question. When it comes, and I don't know if you have the answer to this, but wouldn't State Patrol have, like, is there such a thing? It's like command of the crime scene? Like, there hasn't been a crime that was committed, but who would have control over making that call? Is it the first people there? Is it the county? Is it the State Patrol? Do you know the answer to that, Havla?
Yeah, so I believe Glenwood's... Whoever the deputies were that got in
Clear
trouble.
Creek County.
Yes. So I think Clear Creek County had jurisdiction.
Okay.
These other agencies that responded, Idaho, Glenwood, and CSP, were all just backup.
Okay.
Which happens, especially in these smaller jurisdictions, because people are so far away that anybody that's nearby when something bad is happening will show up.
Right.
So they indicated to other agencies, we need help. This could be a problem for us. So after CSP kind of said, and I think I've mentioned this before, the weird thing about CSP is they're on a completely different dispatch system. So I would expect that Clear Creek County, Glenwood Springs, and Idaho Springs are probably on the same dispatch system. And then you have CSP on the state system, which they do not talk to one another. So what happens is you have dispatchers talking to one another and then conveying those messages to law enforcement. So it kind of becomes a long game of telephone. So even though CSP had kind of decided that nothing really criminal is going on, the other officers continue to engage. And there's some notation, especially in the criminal charges that came down against the two deputies, that one person really tried to intervene and, like, try to de-escalate. And there was one particular officer that kind of continued to escalate the conversation with this Christian Glass. And then at some point, somebody got antsy, started shooting. And when that happens, almost everybody just starts shooting because they don't know where all the shots are coming from. So when you have something like that where it's so clear that law enforcement shouldn't have even been interacting with this individual, there was no reason to detain, there was no reason for them to continue to try to have these conversations, and they escalated the situation, and then from that point caused somebody's death, that's why all these agencies got sued, and then that's why all these agencies ended up paying out.
Yeah, a record-breaking settlement of $19 million. So I didn't know that a civil settlement could get solved before a criminal case was charged. Now, because the criminal case is still ongoing, correct?
It's charged, just not resolved. There's no convictions, yes. It's still ongoing.
Right. So the criminal cases, but the civil settlement's done, and this is done. Doesn't that kind of set a precedent for how the criminal case is going to go, or are they just completely separate?
No. So certain evidence comes in certain cases, and what you do in the civil side of things is not really relevant to whether or not these deputies acted criminally when they shot and killed Christian Glass. So that shouldn't come in as part of evidence, but I'm sure that they will talk about this in jury selection, where they'll go, look, you know, this has been in the news. Can you be fair? Can you judge this on the evidence that you hear in this case, which is not going to include the settlement?
It's interesting. Clear Creek County is going to pay $10 million. The Colorado State Office of Risk Management on behalf of the CSP and Department of Revenue will pay $3 million. The town of Georgetown will pay $5 million. And the city of Idaho Springs will pay $1 million. So they found that everyone who responded there played some sort of a role in this.
For those of us who don't know exactly what happened, I mean, what occurred? You said there was shooting started. What happened?
The video was the officer was on the hood of the vehicle.
Okay, I saw a video of him standing and with gun drawn at the driver, correct?
Correct. And I believe that's where the fatal shot came from, was the officer on top of the
hood. But where was the initial shots from?
I believe the officer from
I don't believe he had a gun.
It was unarmed nothing.
I believe he said he had a knife, but that I don't know that they ever located one.
I don't.
How does that escalate to standing on the roof, aiming your gun, and shooting somebody?
It was a bad police officer. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it was just a horrible police officer who got antsy with the situation. And we've talked a lot about the mental stuff that these police officers go through. I don't envy the situation, but this is why the training of police officers is so important, and why we talk about law enforcement, you know, reform and things like that. This is why it's been in the news, is because you get one of these officers every once in a while that just was not prepared for the situation and escalated it, and it resulted in the death of a young man that didn't need to happen.
Well, I thought I understood what it was, and I did. It just didn't seem like it could actually be that.
In a lot of these situations, when you get to this point, what you're seeing is ego. The officer probably shouldn't have been given a badge in the first place, because they are not the kind of person that understands that there are times when they don't have authority and they need to walk away. And that's exactly how the indictment reads, especially when you have a CSP sergeant saying, we have no reason to continue contact. We need to go.
Yeah, that's wow. Let me just justifiable verdict.
Right. Well, and the criminal because this was a murder. I mean, at the end of the day, this is where it was.
That's
this police officer murdered this young man. I know that they're going to be naming a park after him and stuff like that. So $19 million, I mean, I would imagine this is going to, and it did, it kind of raised the attention of everybody in the nation of this. And now Clear Creek County has to establish a crisis response team by 2025. They had already been working on this this plan, but now they put a deadline on it. The idea is to help get someone trained to deal with crisis, just like Christian Glass is, nonviolently. The county is hoping to get someone on retention for crisis response right away.
Okay, and let's really talk about that, because you hear a lot of bad commentary around this slogan, defund the police. That is literally, like, what they are doing right there is part of the defunding the police. And they're not really taking away funding from the police. What they're doing is they're articulating law enforcement is there to deal with crimes and community safety. And then these people, crisis intervention, is specially trained to deal with mental health crises. So when you're talking about defunding the police, this is what it is.
This is a portion of it, I would say. I wouldn't say, because this is just reallocating money for a unit inside of there, right? I mean, this is in essence, yes, reallocating money. So I guess defunding from the basic principle of it. But a lot of the other values is, you know, that come along with the defund the police crowd is, like, it should just be peace officers out there everywhere. There is a very extreme portion of that.
Right. The
comes along with it.
The extreme slogan is what's gained ground in the media. What is happening, practically speaking, when you're talking practically about defunding the police, is just what you said. Reallocation of funds to where the appropriate people are responding to appropriate situations. So this individual, Mr. Glass, didn't need to be approached with anybody with a weapon. He needed to be approached by somebody who knew how to deal with somebody in a mental health crisis. And that's just clearly designating duties, right?
Right.
There's not a crime. Law enforcement doesn't need to be involved because, frankly, they're not mental health professionals. But we ask them to be mental health professionals a lot. And so clearly outlining that is appropriate.
No, it is. And in the other portion of this, I know that this is one of the conversation pieces too, is like, is it better, you know, could you train police officers on top of all their other training to be, you know, go through the training of handling mental health crisis as well? Like,
they already do.
Right. But not, I mean, not to the same level or extent. Right. And it's hard to differentiate these two, because I would imagine, I can't imagine, but when you've been in these situations of people, you don't know if you're going to get shot. You don't know if you're going to get killed. Like, that's always going to be in the back of your brain when you're walking up to stuff like that. So how do you put that back, push that back and say, this person does not seem like a threat. I am going to handle that with this set of skills instead of this set of skills. So I understand why there would be a need for both, but the more training when it comes to mental health crisis handling and management from police officers that we can get is better, which is the exact opposite of defunding the police. It's putting more money into it for the training of the police officers to handle these situations.
But that, then you're saying that law enforcement should be handling these crises.
I think that they need to have some sort of preparation behind it.
Well, they do. And really, what, in my opinion, it should be, is they approach the scene, they realize that this is a mental health crisis, not a crime or anything that needs their intervention, and they call in the response team,
right,
to deal with it, right?
No, I totally get it, but how many times do we see mental health crisis escalate to where a crime does occur? I mean, I don't know what the numbers on that, but I would imagine,
sure,
common sense, that's where it's going to head.
Sure. You're not going to. Yes. Mental health plays a role in a lot of different things.
Yes,
so,
it
yes,
certainly does. Were you surprised by the $19
million? No. No, because if you look at it, it's kind of broken down by agency. So in total, it is the highest settlement, right? But when you look at by agency, it's not necessarily.
Yeah. There was just so many agencies involved there. 8:54 at the time. We'll come back and wrap up hour number three next. But first, let's get the latest in the nerd world. Here's Micah Kilpatrick. Hey, 8:57 the time. It's Good Morning, Noco. Thoughts, questions, anything like that on the Christian Glass, text them in, 888-530-0043. Always important to remind you, when Hovel is on, no legal advice or anything like that. We'll tackle more of a broad-scale topic tomorrow, when Hovel and possibly Andy come and join us again tomorrow. But
yep,
if you want the best legal advice, get a hold of her. Any final thoughts on the Christian Glass situation, Brian?
No, I just, I my mind goes back to the footage that I saw, and as I'm watching it, I'm trying to put it together in my mind, saying there has to be more to this than just this guy standing on the hood aiming a gun. And it comes down to everything that I thought the visual that I saw was.
Yeah, man.
You know, and that's just, it's hard to wrap your brain around senseless killing like that, and especially when it came from a law officer, and that's what that was. That just, completely avoidable in my mind.
So, got a texter here. I watched the entire 2-hour body cam video last night. The officer on the hood was not the one that shot Christian. It was from the passenger side of his vehicle. Most bullet entries were on the right side of his body. That could very well, though, come from Hovel when you were talking about it. As soon as one officer fires, it's kind of natural instinct for everybody to go at that point, because you don't know. You're trusting the judgment of your fellow officer about the danger that everybody could possibly be in, right?
Once shots are fired, usually all of law enforcement starts shooting off their weapons, because they don't know where those shots are coming from and they need to neutralize the threat.
Tragic story nonetheless, but record-breaking $19 million settlement in the Christian Glass case. Havla, final thoughts from you.
Don't talk to the cops, and if you need a legal consult, give me a call, 720-340-1373. You can find me at brunolilylegal.com.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll make it
three
days in a row. Hour number four coming up, we'll have a representative from Pathways.
Deb Heyman's going to join us.
Going to join us next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.